I'm talking today, you know, I've been talking about family values and trying to instill some things in your marriages and your relationships. Today I'm going to talk about financial stewardship. And I know just even announcing that, some of you think, oh no, why did I come today? But I've been the pastor here since the beginning, since 2012. And I think I have talked about finances about three times, preached on finances about three times. So I don't preach on this very often. But I felt like the Spirit of the Lord told me that I was doing an injustice to you. So I want to tell you that I know how we think sometimes. We think that, well, when the pastor starts talking about finances, it's because the church is going broke and we need. So, you know, we're going to have yard sales and chicken, fried chicken sales. No, we're not. We're going to do it God's way, and we're not broke. Matter of fact, we don't even have a financial need, okay, because of your faithfulness. So I'm not coming from the perspective that we have a need. I'm coming from the perspective that it is my duty to teach you the entire word, to equip you for ministry. And so I am sowing some principles, five principles. I'm going to sow into your life. Now, what you do with it is your business. I am just the shepherd. And so it's my job to sow this stuff into you. When someone is doing premarital counseling, we always go through financial, a week of finances. And I talk to them about the three S's: spending, sharing, and savings. And so that's sort of what you're going to get today also. So turning your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3. So you have to, when you're talking about finances, you have to start off with tithing, because it's the beginning, it's the bake, it's the foundation of this whole thing. Let me throw out just one other thing. Money is neither moral nor immoral. Some of us grow up thinking that money is evil. It is not. Money is no different than a hammer. It's just a tool in your hand. It has no assignment to it other than when you pick it up. So if you are immoral, your money becomes immoral. But if you are moral, your money becomes moral. So it takes on your values. Proverbs 23:5 says, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven." Has anyone ever felt like your money had wings? Especially when you have a need and it just seems like, oh, there we go, you know, flying out the window. Okay, so Malachi chapter 3. It's probably the only verse that you know in the book of Malachi. And unfortunately, there's a lot of good ones. 3 verse 10, he says, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." The verse 12 says, "And the nations will call you blessed." God wants to bless you so that other people look at your life and says, "Wow, I don't know what they're doing, but look how blessed they are." Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today, and I'm so thankful for the Spirit that's been in this place. Lord, you have been moving already. You have already touched lives. And Lord, there I have felt a genuine humility in this place as people were humbling themselves before the Lord and calling upon your name. God, I believe that when we humble and when we draw near, that you will avail yourself, God. You said if we'll call upon you, you will answer. So Father, I have felt and I believe with all my heart that you have been moving in folks' life, that you have been doing what we cannot do, Lord. You have been doing the supernatural, Father, in our lives. And Lord, it's because of that I say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're so faithful to minister to us. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to say yesterday we had this street outreach, and we didn't have a lot of people from the church, but had a few, and this statement was made, I always get more out of it than what I feel like I give. It's called sowing and reaping. If you sow, you will reap. God is faithful. It doesn't matter. It's not just finances. It's every area of your life. So Malachi goes on and he says, you need to tithe. What is tithing? It's 10% of what God puts in your hand. And so whatever that belongs to the Lord. It could be said, you have not given to the Lord until after the tithe. There are certain denominations that don't believe in tithing, and I know I've known several of the pastors of those denominations, and I've asked them before, I said, I don't understand why you guys don't believe in tithing. And my really, really good friend, he told me, he said, we preach the verse that says, give as the Lord prospers. But in reality, what we believe is that starts after 10%. He said, we don't often say that, but we believe also that you're supposed to give 10% and even more. So, folks, this is a lesson from the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And he says, you bring it into the storehouse. Our pastor used to say, you don't go to Wendy's and order your food and get your food and then go to McDonald's and pay for it. You pay where you're being fed. It is not up to you to designate your tithe. You give it, and the Lord blesses it. And that's a good thing because of this. Even if we are not wise with your money, you still have done your part, and you will be blessed. Now, I promise you, in this church, we are very, very sensitive to this is someone's tithe money. This is someone who has sowed into the kingdom, and I'm as tight with your money as I am with my money, and I am tight. And so there's nobody would say otherwise if they know me. But I just believe in being frugal, not cheap, but I believe in being frugal because that's God's money. But you just need to know God blesses you out of obedience, okay? We don't designate our tithe. It's the only thing that I know in Scripture where he says, test me in this. I don't know another area where God says, you can test me. Everything else, he said, trust to me. Take it by faith. Move in this area. But in the area of finances, he said, test me. In other words, cast your bread upon the water and watch. I've been saved most all of my life, and I have heard hundreds of testimonies on people that didn't tithe that started tithing. Tithing makes no sense. Not here. But God said to do it. So it's a matter of trusting Him and doing what He says, and He says, just see if I'll not pour out a blessing. You give 10%, He redeems the 90% that's left in your hand, and it goes further than the 100%. It's amazing. He gives us a promise, twofold promise. He said, see that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Folks, I want that blessing from above, right? Where they're walking on streets of gold and the gates are pearl. I'd say that's the kind of blessing that I want. The part that ministers to me more is the second part of that, where he says, and I'll rebuke the devourer. See, the Bible tells us in John 10:10 that Satan came to steal. What do you think he's after? He's after your finances. He's after your peace. He's after your word, the word that's planted in you. He's after your joy. He's after your marriages. He's after your relationships. He's after anything that he can steal from you. And the word of God says, if you will do this, you can test me in this. If you'll do this, I'm going to rebuke the devourer over your sake. In other words, the things that Satan has planned to take from you, he'll not be able to take because I'm going to stop him. In the NLT, he says this. Now, there he's speaking to an agricultural society, and he says this in verse 11 or 12, one or the other. He says, "Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease." Who can do that? Only God. God is the only one that can protect your crops. If you're a farmer, that's a pretty big deal. And he says so. And you'll not, your grapes will not fall from the vine before they're ripe. Only God can do that. Amen. In Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, I want you to catch that there's another word that he uses this. It's the very first word. He says, honor. Honor the Lord. There's something when you tithe that is honoring to God. You are saying, I trust you for this. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding because this don't make sense. So I'm going to honor you with your possessions, with your first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. There's a promise of God. He will bless the work of your hands. Luke 6:38, I want to show you, it's in the New Testament too. He says, given and to be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. It's sowing and reaping. Give and it'll be given back to you. Now I want to step out. Do you know that Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven and hell combined? Why? Because money tries to offer to you the same thing that God does. And money is easy to make it an idol in your life. See, money says, if you'll get enough of this, I'll give you peace. And I'll bring joy into your life. And I will bring security into your life because you can trust me. And it's a lie straight from the pit of hell. There's only one person that can give us peace. There's only one person that can secure our future, and that's Jesus Christ. But the principle of giving it shall be given is a principle of God. So you may be sitting here today and said, I've done that all my life. This service is not for me. Think I'll check out, Pastor. Don't check out yet. Because it's not just finances. You see, you may have other needs in your life. There are a lot of people that I have found that says, I just don't have any friends. Well, you need to start giving friendship. You need to start giving some love, right? You need to sow so that you can reap the increase. In your marriage, it seems like when something starts going wrong, when someone starts getting out of control, the other person grabs the reins and pulls back. Whoa, horse, roll, you know, I'm slowing this thing down. No, you're probably operating the wrong way. See, when one person starts doing wrong, the other person needs to start loving more. Start pouring more into the other. Does that make sense? If you want to receive love, give love. If you need more attention, give more attention. Right? So these principles of God, they're given for finance, but they work in every way, in every area of your life. Ever heard of JCPenney's? JCPenney's, I believe, was created right before the Great Depression. And they, almost all companies, a lot of companies failed during the Depression, but JCPenney's did not. Why? Because James Cash Penney knew the concept of tithing. Study it, research it. He tithed to God, and God gave back to him. God is faithful to do what he says. A lot of people think, well, this is just an Old Testament concept. Some people say, well, that's part of the law. No, it's not. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek 400 years before Moses went to the mountain. So 400 years before we got the law, the principle of tithing was already in effect. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and he says, woe to you guys. You're doing wrong. You're tithing. You're tithing on the cumin, and you're tithing on the anise, and you're tithing on this, but you've missed the weightier matters of this. You've missed the weightier matters of love and mercy and grace. You're missing that. But the last part of that, he says, it's Matthew 23:23, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. In other words, Jesus, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, I believe. No, it's not. But it is Jesus' teaching. He says, you should be tithing. Don't stop doing that. You should be doing that. But don't miss the letter of the word, which is the Spirit, which is love. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So why don't we tithe? Many people, it's just a lack of knowledge. Many people believe that it's part of the law. So they said, no, I'm not going to do that. But most of the people, it's fear. If I tithe, I won't have enough. So you know what people do? They try to figure it out. They said, well, if I paid all my bills this month, I'll tithe. I promise you, you will not have enough to ever tithe. Tithing is called the first fruit. You need to do it first and then watch God be faithful. He gives us a promise in Philippians 4:19. He says, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. What we need to realize, this is not an open promise to anybody. This is a promise to a church that was givers. You are the church, right? So it's a promise to people that are faithful to do what God has told them to do. So I want to cover just a couple other things. A lot of people, a lot of pastors have heard, I've heard them say, if you've not tithed, you need to figure out how much you've robbed God, because that's the word that Malachi says, you've robbed God in this. And they say, you need to figure it out, and you need to come back, and you need to catch up. I don't believe that. I'm not asking anyone to do that, because nowhere else in our life do we do that. Right? God forgives, and he forgives us of those things. You may need to ask for forgiveness. You may need to say, God, I didn't know, or I was just being stubborn, but please forgive me for that. But from this point on, I'm going to do what's right. I think that's all that's required there. But I do believe that you need to do that. The second fallacy that I have seen in churches that is this preached. If you will tithe, all your other problems financially will be gone. That's not true. God still expects you to be wise with your money. It's not like, hey, just tithe and everything else. You don't have to pay your bills. You don't have to be a hard worker. You don't have to do this. You just tithe and God takes care of everything. Now, that's not true. You hear me? That's not true. So God expects you to put principles in place in your life. Disciplines. Does God expect you to pray? Does God expect you to fast? It was a little slower. Does God expect you to worship? You see, there's disciplines in the body of Christ that we are to do. If you're going to grow in the Lord, there's some disciplines that you put in place. This is, giving is a discipline. So the second thing I want to talk to you about is being generous. Beyond your tithe, be generous with what God puts in your hand. And in 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, he says, but this I will say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 10 then says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower, that's God, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God puts things in your hands so that you'll have enough. Do you know that we serve a God of more than enough? He is not a God of scarcity. He is a God of plenty. God is not broke, and he doesn't want you broke. I've heard people pray, God, give me enough to pay my bills. That's the wrong prayer. We should be praying, God, give me so that I can be a blessing. Now, I don't believe in the way the prosperity message is preached on TV. Okay? I don't, but I do believe that God prospers us. I believe that all prosperity comes from the Lord, and I believe He delights in that. I believe God wants to bless His people so that they can be a blessing to others. So He says, he who sows, He's talking to an agricultural society again. Makes sense. If a farmer goes out and he says, you know, I think that's just that seed is too expensive. Cut that in half. Well, guess what? That's going to come back at harvest. Shake your head. Yes, that makes sense, Pastor. So it works in your life too. And he says, with the measure that you give, I'll give too. He takes the same measuring tool, but he dips it into his resources, not your resources, and he gives back. So be generous. Don't just be generous with the church. Be generous with others. If you see a need, your next door neighbor is having a hard time feeding their children, be generous. Maybe God has blessed you where you have more than enough food. Share. Bless God. Thank you. Ooh, that's good, Pat. In 3 John verse 2, he said, Beloved, I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Do you hear the mindset of God? He said, Beloved, I would that you prosper. I would that you be financially prosperous. Even, did you get it? Even as your soul prospers. Have you ever met anybody that was rich, that was poor in every other way? Yes. They're miserable. There's a verse in the Word that says God will make you rich and He adds no trouble to it. Hallelujah. Sign me up for that one, right? Don't add trouble to what you give me. So the Lord wants to prosper you even as your soul. What's your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions. God does not want to make you have money, but you walk in depression all the time. Your marriage is falling apart. All your relationships are falling apart. But boy, do I have money. I'm sick as a dog. I've got cancer in my body. I'm probably going to die in a few months. But boy, I have money. That's not rich. It's not rich if all your children are going to hell. See, God wants to prosper you financially, but even as your soul. Your soul means a lot to Him. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to walk in the Spirit of God. He wants to lead and guide your life. It's not about money. Amen. But money is a tool to which we can advance the kingdom. To which we can take, we can send kids to camp, right? We can give food on the streets. We can keep the lights on and keep it cold in here, hallelujah. First Timothy 6:10 says, For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Please notice it does not say money. Money is not a root of evil. It's the love of money. I know some of us think, well, I don't have to deal with that. I don't have much. That doesn't mean you don't have the love. See, I've seen more poor people struggle with the love of money than I have rich people. Now, I've seen wealthy people have this struggle too, like it's never enough, right? And they'd sell their mother if they could get a little bit more. That's obviously not what the Lord wants. But don't think that money is evil. It's a tool. It's the love of money. And if you have that in you, I did. I grew up extremely poor, to the point that we didn't always have nearly enough to eat. And so I had the love of money. I wasn't even going to get married because I wanted to make money, right? I saw myself, I'm going to make $1 million. Tree would become my million. And so he says, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and have pierced themselves through many sorrows. What if you have the love of money in your heart right now? What if you said, Pastor, you're identifying me? You do it like everything else. You repent. You just say, God, I recognize that this is not a godly attitude, and I repent, and I ask you to remove this from my life. I realize that things do not satisfy. You know, some people are addicted to drugs. Other people are addicted to alcohol. Some people are addicted to food. Some people are addicted to pornography. And some are addicted to shopping. Ooh. You ever go to a secondhand store? It's my favorite shops, by the way. Pretty much everything I wear comes from a second or third or fourth hand. I hate to spend money on clothes. I don't know why. And then you're thinking, yeah, we can tell, Pastor. You ever notice that in the secondhand store, there's lots of clothes with the tag still on it? Why? Because somebody's got an addiction. They can't. See, I'm not happy. There's something in my soul. There's just no joy there. So I'm going to watch the channels where I can buy stuff. I'm going to dial 1-800-AMAZON. Temu, there you go. I've got a friend of mine who's got on Temu. I think it's Temu, the China junk. And so we're family. And he's like me. In other words, his hair is going back this way and up this way. And so he bought a toupee on that thing. So now he's bought 11 of them. I'm telling you. Well, I won't tell you. Let's just moving right along. He may be watching Facebook today. Ephesians 4:28 says this. Now listen to the practicality of the Word of God. Let him who stole steal no longer. You know, if you come out of the world of addiction, you probably have stolen because you can't afford to buy what you needed. And the Word of God is addressing it. Aren't you thankful for the wisdom of the Word of God? I want you to notice one thing. He is not shaming you. He's giving you instruction on what to do. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give. God is blessing two things: the principles of financial stewardship and hard work. Here's what God blesses. How many of you have heard, if you'll sow a seed into this ministry, God will give it back to you 100-fold. Did you go to your mailbox? Hallelujah. And it was empty. The only thing in my mailbox is bills, but I sowed a seed. That ain't the word, guys. Do I believe in sowing a seed? Absolutely. I absolutely believe. But God oftentimes gives back in other areas than just finances. If God has blessed you to have a good job, that's a blessing. If God has blessed you where you don't have to work, that's a greater blessing. But God blesses the work of your hands. In Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, he said, there is one who scatters yet increases more. In other words, he's scattering his seed. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Matthew chapter 6, this is the Sermon on the Mount. I knew I had a verse in there. So this is Jesus' teaching. He says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You've heard it said before, I've never seen a hearse, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. But I want to tell you, you can send it up ahead of time. You have a bank account in heaven. Did you know that? You have an account in heaven where you can sow into. And when you have a need, God takes from that account and gives back. Say, that doesn't make sense, Pastor. Well, remember the story a few weeks ago about Cornelius, where God spoke to Cornelius, or spoke to Cornelius, but he also talked to Peter. Said, Peter, I want you to go and talk to Cornelius. And he said this. He said, his prayers and his alms, his giving, has come before the Lord as a memorial. If you think the Lord doesn't notice what you're giving, you're wrong. When Jesus walked on this earth, they put an offering plate on the altar, and Jesus sat over here like this. Whoa, look at the big bags of money, yeah. And then he told his disciples, he said, you know who gave the most today? It wasn't the big bags of cash. It was a little lady with two little coins because she gave all she had. Here's my thing. God noticed. Our pastor used to say, don't be a bucket plunker. Be a sower. You know, I believe that before you give your offering, I believe you ought to pray over it. I believe you ought to say, God, I'm sowing into your kingdom. I'm not just throwing money in the plate. I'm sowing this. I'm a farmer, and I'm sowing this into your kingdom, and I'm trusting your word. Winston Churchill, I love Winston Churchill. He got us through World War II. We'd probably all be speaking German right now if it wasn't for Winston Churchill and the World War II vets. Come on. Winston Churchill said this, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. There was a man by the name of Glenn Beck. You know Glenn? On the radio, has a radio program. Before he ever got saved, he told a friend of his who was suffering from depression, he said, I've got two things that you need to do. An unsaved man telling another unsaved man biblical principles. He said, you need to start tithing, and then you need to find someone to serve. Two biblical principles. He said, it changed that man's life. That man of depression became a man of joy. The third principle that I want to talk to you about is a four-letter word. And another six-letter word that you think is a four-letter word. It's budget and save. So I've just been telling you to give, and now I'm telling you to save. Am I contradicting myself? No. I'm trying to give you the whole counsel of God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad you're excited. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. You'll know this verse, but I bet you've never thought of it in this way. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has plans, whether he has enough to finish? What is he talking about? He's talking about budgeting before you build. Budget before you get married. Budget before you have children. And then tear the budget up because it ain't going to work. Because those little guys coming in the world saying, I want, give me this, give me this. But you can have a little bit of a plan, right? You can. Budget is not a dirty word. It's a word that says, I will control my spending. I will do it systematically, and I'll do it with a, I won't be an emotional spender. I'm going to be a wise spender. Is God against you having a good time? No. Is God against you having a vacation? No. Does God want you to plan for that vacation? Yes. Does God want you to go in debt so you can go on vacation? No. Does God want you to... Listen, I like this. I'm having fun. Does God want you to play the lottery so you can get rich? Absolutely not. Don't dip into the things of the world. Expect God to bless it. You know what they call that, right? I'm talking to somebody today. I know that hit a nerve. Not gambling. They call it the idiot tax. Because you're idiotic. You have more chances of being hit by lightning than you do of winning the lottery. And most people that win the lottery die broke. I'm telling you, I have faith for tithing. I do not have faith to buy a lottery ticket. Hail Mary, full of grace. But I have bought one before. I didn't win a thing. I lost a dollar. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty." The plans of the diligent... I love the word diligent. God blesses those who diligently seek Him, not once in a while, right? The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Do you see that? I mean, the Holy Ghost had to throw that word surely in there. He just wanted to make you confident. Hey, you can trust God. He'll surely bless it. And those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Proverbs 27:23, be diligent to know the state of your flock and attend to your herd. Say, what in the world does that mean? It means do the best at your business. Know your business. The Bible says if you'll become an expert at your business, at your craft, you'll come before kings. You'll work for kings because you have, the people that's up on this pulpit playing an instrument have given hours and hours and hours and hours to their study, and we are blessed by it, right? Because they have applied themselves to knowledge. So Jay started his own business. Be excellent at it. Be the best in your business so that God will bless you and He'll bring you before a king one day. He says, I want you to design my kingdom. Number four, get out of debt and don't go back. So when you talk about this, I know sometimes you hear judgment. It's not judgment that you hear today, I hope. I'm speaking this for your wisdom, for your counsel, for your goodness. I want you to be free from debt. And so let's talk just a second about what is debt. Well, if you owe something to someone, that is a matter of debt. But there's a better definition, and that is if you owe more than what you could sell it in a bad condition, then you're in debt. In other words, if you have a $400,000 house and you owe $125,000 on it, you're not really in debt, because in the worst of markets, you ought to be able to get that back, right? So you're not really in debt. Now, do you want to get out all the way? I believe you do, because there's freedom in that, right? There's just freedom. The Bible says that the borrower, the rich rules over the poor. Is that not specific? The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And God wants you to be the lender, not the borrower. God wants to bless your life. And I know when I throw that out there, some of you are saying, that's ridiculous. I'll never get there. Yeah, you will. If you just start doing the little things. Guys, I'm telling you, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, but it's also the little things and the little principles that once we put them in place, God starts blessing them and it starts coming together as a whole puzzle. I'm not going to spend long on that one. The fifth principle I want you to understand is that you are a steward of whatever God puts in your hand. And God, when He gave us the message, the steward is a manager. So this goes beyond tithing. This is everything that God places in your hand, not just money. God wants you to be responsible, and He wants to be Lord over it. And it's not all about giving. It's not all about giving it away. There's wisdom in saving. So that God... Have you ever seen anybody that seemed like they lost their salvation because their refrigerator broke down? It threw them into panic. Their car is broken. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. That's a person that's never saved. No, nobody likes to replace those things. But if you're systematic in your saving, my dad was not a Christian, but he taught me a couple of great principles. Anything mechanical breaks down. Eventually it's going to break. But if you've systematically, you've done what the Word has said and you saved money, that doesn't throw you into a panic. You just go get it fixed. Do you see the peace? The peace didn't come from the money. It came from the wisdom of the Word. Right? It's the wisdom of knowing and using the Word. In Psalms 24:1, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord in all its fullness." That God is, and those who dwell therein. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich; and He adds no sorrow to it." But it's Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30, that gives us the parable of the talents. So there was a master that went away that had three servants. And so I gave the servants names. The first servant's named Adam, okay? The second servant, we're going to call him Stan. And the third servant, we're going to call him George, just where it's a little easier for you to connect with. So this master is going away, and he says, "I'm going to entrust you with my wealth." Is that not what God has done for us? The earth is the Lord's. But He's entrusted it to us. He's gone away on a short trip, but He's coming back. And so He gave Adam five talents. You know how much a talent is? It's 25 years of an annual salary. I mean, we are talking about some dough, right? So He gave him 5 times that. Okay, 125 years of an annual salary. And He says, "Here, Adam, I want you to invest this wisely. I trust it with you. You're a trusted servant." And then Stanley, He said, "Stanley, I'm going to give you 2. And George, well, I'm going to give you 1. I'm going to see what you're all about." Adam invested it, come back with 10 when the master came back. He said, I've doubled what you put in my hands." Stan said, "Hey, I've doubled mine too. You gave me 2, now I have 4. But George says, "I was scared of you because you're a hard master." You know, there's some people that still see God like that. "God, you're a hard master." No, He's not. He's just. He is just, but He's loving. He's faithful and He's kind. But He does expect. When He dealt with Stan, Stan was the one that He says, "You wicked servant." George, sorry. Get my own guys mixed up. "Georgie Pooh, you did not do good." Right? "You wicked servant." Who did He criticize? I think the church sometimes thinks that it's wrong to have things. It's wrong to have money. It's wrong to have substance. No, it's not. It can be a blessing to God. Now, I can take you to hell if you don't have it right in your heart. But it's not wrong. God, the master, rewarded those that had done well in their investments. But to George, who buried his talent, a lot of church people are burying their talent today because they think he's hard. He reaps where he doesn't sow. And he says, "You wicked servant. I just want you to realize God has placed things in your hands, not just money. God has placed responsibilities. God has placed children in your hands. God has placed a family in your hands. Be wise. See, I'm coming back now. I talked to you last week about communication. You know why? It's the number one thing that causes divorce in America, is a lack of communication. You know what number two is? Finances. You know God wants you to be blessed in this? God wants you to be blessed. So as I'm looking around the crowd, I know that many of you live on a fixed income. You're living on Social Security or disability. And the world will tell you, well, you just don't have enough. Folks, you do. I know it doesn't appear, but you've got to get God working on your case. So be faithful. Be faithful to God and His principles, and watch God bless even the lowest incomes. Now, let me give you one warning. Sometimes God sends extra into your hands. Right? You get a check you wasn't expected. President Trump says, let's give everybody in America $6,000. I said, send it to me. Send it to me. Don't blow it. Because God sometimes knows. No. I said that wrong. God always knows what's ahead. And God may be saying, I see that you're going to have a need in the fall, and I'm going to send you a little extra in the spring. Save it to when you get to the fall, you'll have it. Consider the ant, thou sluggard. Right? Isn't that Proverbs 6? Consider the ant, thou sluggard, who toils. They work. They don't have a supervisor. They work together. They work in unity. I'm telling you, so much wisdom in those few verses. Guys, put your hands out here in front of your face. God wants to bless that. God wants to bless your hands, the working of your hands. So get busy. Put them to work. Let's do something to allow the Lord to bless. Stand with me. Now remember, in July we're going to move the service back, and we're still going to get out at 12 o'clock. Let's go. I will be shortening my sermon some. At least I can come up with a paragraph, or I can come up with 2 pages of notes, and I'm still going to preach 40 minutes. I don't know what it is about that, but God help me to do better. Roy, would you come up and end with a blessing? But I'm going to pray over you. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray for Denny and Mandy as they're flying out of this country today. God, put your hand upon them. Protect them as they go. Father, we love this family. We love Mary. We pray, Lord, that they would not, any harm would come to them, but they would also have wonderful fun and rest, God. Just may their relationship be increased, God, in every area, increase their life. So, God, we pray today for these people that heard this sermon. And I pray, God, that the Spirit of the Lord has been speaking to the individual hearts. Align us right now with your scriptures. Align us with the principles of the Word of God, so that we would do right, so that you would bless us, so that we could be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I believe we have a men's breakfast this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock right here at the church. Is it? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. We do not have a men's breakfast this Saturday. Amen. Raise your hand with me. Receive a blessing from the Lord. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you, make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace, with nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.